Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Let me introduce our special guest. He's no stranger to us. He's been here three or four times, and we've known and loved the entire Keitley Shiloh family from Oakland, California, for many, many years. The church has been there for 50 years and stands today strong as a testimony of God's power, a fountainhead church blessing its community, touching thousands and thousands of people in the San Francisco Bay Area, in a tough part of the San Francisco Bay Area. But let me tell you something about the Keitleys. They are tough people. They know God, they are strong, and the Lord has used them. They've inspired my life. They have blessed and inspired this church. And though I love to preach and teach, I also love to hear what other people are saying. And I'm telling you, God speaks through this man. I want you to give a gateway welcome to Pastor David Keitley as he comes. And Marilyn, Pastor Marilyn, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. Let me introduce to you my wife of 49 years. We're going to be... Amen. She looks young, doesn't she? Hallelujah. But she's actually older than me, so that makes it just 5 months. And I was telling the church that whenever we had a problem, an issue in our church, and somebody wanted to talk to the senior pastor, I said, go and talk with her because she's older than me. So got to be the senior pastor. Amen. Raise your hands one more time. Let's thank God for his presence. Lord, thank you for the spirit in this house. Thank you for the anointing, the sound of praise, the sound of worship, the anointing that breaks every yoke, an atmosphere of healing and restoration, an atmosphere where people can come in and be changed and be reignited in you, Lord, and be refreshed to go out and face the week with new confidence and new assurance because of the word of the Lord. Amen. Congratulations to your pastors on their 35th anniversary of ministry. That's a tremendous accomplishment. Amen. You're blessed with these wonderful people who serve you all the time. And then, of course, Apostle C and Sister Shirley, and just a great relationship that we've had. I just reminiscing this morning, 1968, I preached in their church first time in Sunnyvale, California. That's a long time ago, but they're still just as strong and as powerful and as anointed as ever. I just tell you one funny story. We were up in Edmonton, I believe. We were at a camp meeting, and it was all the tents were flooded, and Apostle C got up and spoke, and he says, we had a miracle last night. He said, David and I, our tent was completely dry. Didn't tell him that we were in the Hilton Inn. God is good. Amen. All right. You asked me to repeat the same sermon. I'll do my best. All right. Amen. There was a story of a man went to see his doctor, and he asked his doctor to check him out. He hadn't had to be diagnosed, and the doctor came up with two issues. He says, you have a memory problem, and you have a sight problem. But we can't fix both of them at once, so which one do you want taken care of first? So he thought it over for a little while, and he says, well, I think I'd rather see where I'm going than remember where I've been. Amen? How many would say that? I want you to take out your note paper and write this down. You've all read and heard and seen movies about the Titanic. In 1912, there was 1,493 people that died in Atlantic Ocean in one of the worst marine accidents in the history up until that time. And the shipbuilders and the manufacturer and owners of the ship, they said certain things about their ship, and there was five major reasons why this happened. And the first one was they thought their ship was unsinkable. There was a pride factor. There was an overconfidence factor. I mean, when you think your ship is unsinkable and you think that you have got this thing, that's when you're in danger to overstate it and to overthink it and to be in a position where you're going to be very vulnerable. Secondly, they had no emergency drills. You know, if your ship's unsinkable, why have emergency drills? And there was a desperate need for preparation. And it's been stated, the future belongs to the prepared. I want to be prepared for whatever God has in the future so I can... How many want to smile at your future? Want to look to your future? Because God has your future. But they decided, we don't need no emergency drills. We got this thing together. And they were actually partying on that ship at the time when this disaster took place. The second thing is they were traveling in a fog. How many people are traveling in a fog? We just see a whole generation in a fog. They've got restricted vision. They don't understand where they're going. They've lost their perspective. They've lost their direction, and they've lost their focus. The fourth thing was they were hit by the unexpected. They encountered an iceberg in warm waters, which is highly unusual. They were ready to respond to what was usual and what is expected, but they didn't know how to handle the unexpected. And unexpected things are going to come into your life. You can be sure of it. Just as you're going along and you think you're moving at a certain pace, and all of a sudden you hit a speed bump, you come up against an issue that is unexplainable. You come up against issues that you never dreamed that you'd ever possibly be faced with. That's when you need to be prepared. The fifth one, they had their communication system turned off. And as a result, 1,493 people lost their lives. Had they had their communication system on, there was a Japanese ship that was only 2 miles away. But they couldn't see them because of the fog, and they couldn't hear them because their communication was turned off. There's a lot of believers that have got their communication turned off. They come to church, and they vicariously receive through somebody else. Now, I know somebody else cannot receive what you need to receive for yourself. Somebody else can't do your exercises for you. Have you ever watched on TV while you're sitting there eating chips and drinking Coke and saying, my, aren't they in good shape today? And you're thinking vicariously that this is going to transfer to you, and all of a sudden you're going to be able to get the same results. No, you're not going to. It's not going to work. Amen? Got to have our communication system turned on. I want to talk to you about a personal, intimate word from God that each of us need to receive on a daily basis. We need to, it's one thing to rehearse and review what God said to you in the past, and that's important because we need to build on the past, but we need a current word as well. We need a rhema word. We need a now word. A church needs a rhema word. A church that becomes stale, a church that becomes boring, a church that is not moving is a church that is only rehearsing and regurgitating the word that they received in the past. Now, God still brings stuff out from the past, but I'll tell you, he always puts it in a new form. He always brings it in a new anointing and a new level and a new packaging. And there's a fresh word for Gateway that God is going to speak to you even before this year's out. And he wants to speak that into you personally, into your life. Amen? And I believe that's God's purpose for this present time. Now, it's presumptuous to believe that every season of life is the same, that every battle, every transition, everything we go through in life and ministry is the exact duplicate of something that we received yesterday. We need a fresh, new word from God in every new beginning. When you move to a new house, when you move to a new job, a new career, when you move to a new place, or you get into a new relationship, or you get a new challenge, or even a new victory in your life, you need a fresh word to how to navigate through that. You need a fresh understanding of how that is to come into context. You know, we're getting lots of words of knowledge and very few words of wisdom. Amen. The word of knowledge is wonderful that comes through the prophetic, but then I need a business plan, which is the word of wisdom, to be able to carry out what the Lord has said. Amen. Any good businessman knows that a vision is wonderful and a goal is wonderful, but if he doesn't have a plan to put it to pass, it's not going to happen. Then you have to rework the plan numbers of times in order to make it happen. The greatest privilege, the greatest desire of anyone is to hear a fresh word from God. We need a rhema word. Amen? It doesn't take away from the logos. It doesn't take away from the preparation that you got in your impact studies. It only, you know what it does? It takes what you received in impact, and then it underlines and underscores and said, now is the timing. Amen? It says this time, at this season, this such and such is going to come to pass. And the fresh word from God is so needed today. Amen? I'm people finding, you know, a fresh word will cause you to come out of your confusion, come out of your chaos, come out of your lack of direction, come out of your boredom, come out of your place where you're on a merry-go-round and you're just going around in circles and fulfilling the same thing and meeting yourself going and coming. Amen? I need a fresh word. Amen? I need some fresh marching orders. And when you come up against a challenge, and we've been through some of the darkest time in our life this year, and I tell you, if you didn't have a fresh word to hang on to, and you didn't have some good friends like these people on the front row that you could talk to and confide in and draw from and just be there to listen to you, amen, you wouldn't even be able to hang on. Amen? How many know that fresh word, that fresh impetus of God is so vital and important to keep you moving in the right direction? God speaking 24 hours a day. Only our hearing is intermittent. God never stops speaking. Amen? God's talking all the time. I say, I'd like to get a word from God. Well, just turn your receiver on. God didn't stop speaking. It's us that stopped listening. It's us that stopped hearing. He's always speaking. He's got a preceding word, a word of revelation, a progressive word. And the word comes line upon line, precept upon precept. Because if God was to give it to you all in one fell swoop, it'd blow your brains out. Blow a circuit. Amen? Say, God, I want you to download your whole word into me. Man, you can't even handle John 3:16 yet, so. Amen? So he gives it to us line upon line. But I need that line upon line. Martin Luther, the reformer of the 1500s, the Lutheran movement. My wife says, always claimed she's a Lutheran. She's a spirit-filled Lutheran. She'd been in Shiloh for 50 years, and we still haven't got her into the revival yet. Still a Lutheran. Once a Lutheran, always a Lutheran. When he had a particularly busy schedule, he would pray. He said he prayed a minimum of 4 hours in order to get the assignments accomplished. Now, that's a real contradiction, isn't it? You think, if I've got a busy day, I don't need to pray at all. No, he said, I pray 4 hours, and then God gives me creative ideas so I can get every one of those assignments done. And my appointments are not just random or accidental, but every one of my appointments are ordered by the Lord, and I am led by the Spirit through that. He used the verse, the key verse that he used in his writings was Isaiah 50, verse 4. He said, he wakens my ears. He has given me the term, the tongue of the learned. Now, before you get the tongue of the learned, you have to have the ear of the learned. And he awakens my ear morning by morning. How many like to have your ear opened up every day? A fresh word for the day, so that you're not just wandering around and just doing things that are just on your to-do list, but you're doing things because they're ordered of the Lord. They're part of the things that God's ordered for that particular day, and he wanted to accomplish that in that time. So he says, he wakens my ear. I say, God, waken my ear. You only learn to hear God's voice when you're listening to it. If you live close to a railway station, railway tracks, and your house, a train going by, you can sleep right through it. And it doesn't even bother you because you have, but how many know if you are there and you've never heard it before, you almost jump out of bed and think the train's coming right through your living room. We only hear what we're familiar with. I was in a meeting and I was asked the pastors, I was the president of the pastors of Oakland, I asked them to give a word from God. Did God say anything to them? There's about 100 pastors there. Not one of them had a thing to say. I said, I think you are goat pastors. They love that. I said, I don't think you're sheep because sheep are familiar with the voice. Goat don't know what to. You haven't heard a thing from God, then you must be goats. The number one talk show question on Christian TV is, what is the will of God? From people who have been saved 30 years, they still don't know what the will of God is. They don't know whether when God speaks, whether it's God, the flesh, or the devil. Amen. My sheep are familiar with my voice. Morning by morning, that I've wakened their ear. Morning by morning, they've heard me. They've listened to me. They understand what I'm saying. When an infant hears the sound of a parent's voice, they can recognize the fact that they're close, even though they don't understand what's being communicated. A mother can be awakened up in the middle of the night, and she can simply tell by the tone, the pitch, or the intensity of the cry of the baby, what's wrong with the baby. She knows whether the baby is wet or hungry, needs to be held, or the baby has stuck their head in the ribs of the crib and needs some special attention right at that very moment. She knows that intuitively. She doesn't go to school to learn about that. She doesn't read about that. She hasn't been taught that. It hasn't been instructed. But intuitively, it's been put inside the mother. How many of God wants to put something inside of you intuitively so that you know when God is speaking, you know when God is directing, you know when God is saying something in your family, in your business, in every aspect of your life, you are in tune with what the Spirit say. And you don't have to take any thought what you're going to say. Matthew 10, 19 and 20. Or what you're going to speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour what you shall speak. It's not you who speaks, but it's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father who speaks through you. That's mean you don't have to look for answers to difficult times. You don't have to defend yourself. Right. Amen. God's your advocate. He's your lawyer. He's your attorney. He's going to be standing there for you, and there's going to be instant recall. Amen. How many's been in situations where you needed God to speak to you and speak through you and declare something to you, and something came back and you don't even know that you ever put it in there, but God just recalls it and say, I don't even know where that's coming from, but it's something that God has put in your spirit and you put in through, and you've stored up. That's why come into this impact, and you, if you're not part of it, you need to become part of it. Amen. You might say, well, I don't have a lot of time. Well, I tell you, you don't have time for a lot of things, but this is one of the most greatest priorities, because it's storing up a reservoir within you so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, when there's issues of life that you don't know how to handle, the Lord is going to do an instant recall, and the word is going to come. It's going to be in your mouth. It's going to be spoken forth from you, because you say, where did that come from? Well, that came from a class that I took. It came from a time when I sat under the word. It came from a time when the word of the Lord was imparted to me in a powerful way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 25 says, we're not to refuse the voice of God when he speaks. Don't harden your heart. The word refuse, don't avoid the word. Don't ignore the word. Don't make it something that's unimportant. Don't make it optional. Amos 8, 11 and 12 says, in the last days, God says there's going to be a famine in the land, not for the word. There's so many CDs and so many, I tell you, today, you can hardly, if you want to write a book, there's already 20 books out on the subject you're going to write about. You want to preach on something, there's CDs, and we've never had more of a glitch of information than we have right now. There's just so much, the market and verbiage is going right over people's heads. Amen. You know what keeps us preachers going? I'll give you one secret. I've been preaching for over 50 years. It's because people only get 15% of what you share. So that means that I can say, use 85% of my material again. And that's for the ones that are listening. The rest of them are getting 5%. And some of you is already zoned out and you're not hearing a word. I say, and I, you know, it bugs me more than anything else as a preacher, is people come up and tell, the only thing they can tell you is your jokes. So I decide I'm going to tell more jokes, because that's the only thing they're listening to. Amen. How many verbiage goes over? The voices, there's so many voices, none of them without significance. That's why we've got to tune in, and Lord, tune our ears, dig our ears. Amen. Take some spiritual Q-tips and get in there and clean out those ears so they can hear what God's saying. You'll be in a lot less confusion. I hear people saying, well, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. God, blah, 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 blah. I say, wonderful. If God told you anything, why are you such a confused individual? God's not confused. He's not the author of confusion. And you're telling me God told you all this? That's not the God. Your God sounds like my devil. Amen? You're as confused as a mosquito in a yo-yo. Amen? That's not God. If you are hearing from God, you're going to be at peace. If you're hearing from God, you're going to be directed. If you're hearing by God, you're going to be increasing your business. If you're hearing God, you're not making dumb decisions. Is this okay? I'm far enough away, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to get on the highway and leave. And we're all nuts in Oakland anyway, so what do you expect? Amen? We're on the front lines. Devil, come and get us. And he sure has tried. But anyways, he's not going to win. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. How many know when you're in situations where you're in seasons where certain times you become very insensitive to the voice of God? Disappointments, hurts, and pains. Amen. Cares of light choke out the word. Things come to your life. Come on, let's be honest. We're not always spiritual. Come on. Maybe the crowd here are. I don't know. This church gateway, I can't figure you out anyways. But everybody looks so spiritual here. Everybody looks like they got no problems, you know. You come to the inner city, everybody looks goofy. But you people all look like you're, you know, you have that holy glaze on you. There's a holy huddle right here. And I just want to build 3 tabernacles and stay here. But I know right down you're as messed up as the rest of us. Amen. Hallelujah. How many feel like some days you're on overload? Some days you've overspent. Nobody here. No, you don't do that. Overtired. Some of you are even a little overweight. You're under pressure. Amen? You're underpaid. Say amen to that. You're under the weather. Hallelujah. You've gone through circumstances of life. And let me just say this, that we can be chasing a lot of empty, hollow pursuits with a lot of good intentions. But when we get the right word, it's not doing good things, it's doing the right thing. Amen? And for the right reasons. And when we do the right thing for the right reasons, because we're led by the Spirit and not driven by circumstance, God's purpose is going to come forth. Aristotle wrote, "We are in essence what we repeatedly do." And this eventually becomes something that we don't even have to think about. There's some automatic responses that come and, yeah, and direct us, and just things, yeah, that go on. And then we got to be careful of that, because we can just get in mesmerized and just be walking along through life and going through life and not really listening and not really conscious of what's going on around us. We've all heard the old adage that says, practice makes perfect. Let me know that if you got a bad golf swing, that doesn't work too well, because you keep practicing the same bad golf swing and the bad, and what do? You just reinforce your error. And some people, that's all they're doing in life. They're just reinforcing their error. Practice makes perfect. But if it's the wrong practice, then the perfection you're getting out of it is the wrong perfection. Amen? There's some things we got to break the cycle off. Something we got to say, enough is enough. Something we got to say, I'm not going this route anymore. Sometimes we got to say, a certain era is over, a certain time is over, a certain situation is over, and you got to let it die and not mourn over it. Come on, there's certain relationships that have to be done. There's certain things that have to be settled. There's certain things that have to be said. Listen, this is not the direction I'm going to be drawn in any longer. Come on. I'm making a change. Some people need to make a change. They need to shake up what they're doing, and they need to change their order. They need to change. Amen. If you can't balance your checkbook every month, there's something needs to be a change. Amen. Don't keep rebuking the devil. Maybe you'll be best to not keep writing those checks, and at least write some checks into some situations where there's going to be a return. Can you say amen? Amen. Some of you need to say, oh me, not amen. All right. The sign on the country road says, choose your rut carefully, because you're going to be in it for a long time. The old cliche says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same outcome. There's a time we got to break the cycle. Amen? The older you get, the more you got to do it, because you just get into a routine, and you can do things in your sleep that, amen, you used to have to think consciously about. Say, God, I need to hear from you. I need you, the Holy Spirit, to redraw the blueprints of my life. I need to be restructured in my thinking. I need my faith that's been damaged to be healed. Amen? We all get into a comfort zone where our faith is at a certain level. But I tell you, God wants to stretch your faith and give you a new sense of divine imagination for some things that you've never touched and some things that you've never even imagined could happen, and believe that beyond that, we've not seen nothing yet. If this is the fullness, I'm telling you, amen. This is not the fullness. We've only scratched the surface. There's a lot more to come in your life and your experience and your ministry and in your family. And you've got to get a new vision for your family. Some of you need to go home and write a new blueprint for your business. Oh, we're getting by. We're paying our bills. You could pay your bills if the place was closed, because you wouldn't have any. Why not ask for increase? Why not believe you're going to bless the kingdom? Why not believe that you can put, amen, a guy, I'm in Indonesia preaching at a church of 200,000. There's 20,000 elders in the church. And preaching at this church, and they had me come to preach on church growth. What an intimidation to preach on church growth to this crowd of people. You know, I know what I'm going to say. What am I going to say to church growth? I said, you better lay hands on me and tell me what to... But the Lord told me, he says, you are a mile long and an inch thick. He says, everybody's just sitting here watching the platform do it. It's a big show. It's time now. You don't need no more members. If you want church growth, you don't need no members. You need to probably send half of these out of here. But what you need to do is get some reproducing members. People are going to reproduce the kingdom of God in them, and they're going to see this nation turned around for God. With 200,000 people in that church, it's still the largest Muslim nation in the world. How many know we can be sitting having the glory in here when we need the glory outside here and touch the culture and change the circumstance of the situation around us? Amen? Hallelujah. Draw a replant. Moses needed a fresh snapshot of what God had for him. He came to an abrupt place. Imagine wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and as a nomad, someone trained to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt, and he comes a stuttering, stammering nomad with no direction, no focus, just going around in circles. Here's the great, great emancipator that needed to be arrested. Amen? I mean, there's a whole lot of potential in people that needs to come. They need to stop. The old saying, stop, look, and listen. And he needed to come. And God brought him to a bush. And he was out tending sheep, his father's sheep. And he comes to Mount Horeb. And there's no neon flashing light on Mount Horeb saying, you have come to the Mount of God. Most of the time, we don't come there because we're attracted necessarily even by the anointing or even directed. We stumble on a lot of things. Most of the good I've done in ministry, I've done by accident. Amen? I prayed Oral Roberts' prayers over people and they died. From the top of your head, the sole of your feet, be healed! And they died. Then I've had people call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, Pastor, we need your prayer. We're very sick. I can't sleep. I said, well, I can't either. strange as it is, I can't sleep at all. And I was sleeping good till now. I know. In the name of Jesus, heal this man. No, I mean this woman. In the name of Jesus, good night. Call me in the morning and say, whatever you did, oh, the prayer was so powerful. Last night, I was totally healed. I forgot that I even prayed for him. That just tells how much we got to do with it. We don't have a whole lot to do with it. We just got to be obedient and say, God, use me in my weakness. Use me in my failure. Use me in my contradiction. Use me at the lowest point of my life. Use me, Lord. Amen. I give my weakness. I give my inability. I give my ineptness. I give everything that I got to see your kingdom purpose brought forth. And here's Moses at the weakest point of his life, at the lowest point of his life, and God is faithful to have an encounter with him, and God will encounter you at your weakness. He will encounter you at your crossroads. He will encounter you at the time of your contradiction. He will contradict you when you don't have another ounce of faith in you. He comes and calls his name. He said, Moses, Moses. I mean, whenever God says your name once, you need to listen. When he says it twice, you better sit up and take action. Amen? Moses, Moses, like your parents using your middle name. You know you're in trouble. You know that trouble's brewing. You know that something big's going to happen right now. Moses, Moses. Here's this. He had lost his fluency of speech. He's out with the sheep for a 3-month stretch at a time. No stimulating conversation, just ba, 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 ba. Sounds like a lot of, amen, misinformed believers. Out with the sheep and sheep bite. And, you know, it's kind of, after 50 years of ministry, I have the marks on me to show I bear the marks of the congregation. Amen? And we have to play by the rules when the people don't. So that's been interesting. He's got an identity crisis. He needs a revival of fresh purpose. You know, in our inner city, I see people that are 23 years old, hollow-eyed, emotionally dead, but they're not going to get buried till they're 73. But their life is dead. They've lost their sense of purpose. When you lose your sense of purpose and it's just day out, the same old thing, and there's no excitement, there's no enthusiasm, there's no vision for what you're doing, then you need a fresh touch from God. You need to come to the, amen, burning bush one more time. Take off your shoes. Take off any artificial covering. Change your focus. Change your routine existence. He'd lost sight of what he'd been called to be, and he needed a recommissioning. And here God was resounding in his ear one more time. I'm saying, God, it's imperative as we get older, amen, that we hear, get a fresh vision of our future. Come on. Yeah, sometimes you need a fresh word from God about what you say. Oh, I can just continue on. No, I'm not content to just continue on. Same old, doing the same stuff, just putting one foot in front of the other. Amen. One thing I admired about this pastor here, this apostle of God right here, is he's always looking for a new thing in God. He's always been, he appreciates the old. He has got memories that of the old and the ministry of the past, but he also has an understanding that God's a progressive God and he's moving forward, and there is a freshness of God that needs to come to all of us. Amen? We need some mentors to raise up. You're really training mentors of people. We need, I was telling them in the first service, I'm concerned in our church, we got all these young ladies who are tremendous, and I say, where are they going to get their husbands from? Because some of the guys are intimidated by their education and by their clarity, and they're so much more mature than them, and there's going to be no husbands in the house. They got to get outside the house and maybe get messed up outside the house because, amen, so we need to mentor the young men of the house and get them going as well as the young ladies, but, amen, and prepare people for life, prepare them for marriage, prepare them for their future, prepare them for ministry. And I believe we should prepare people for ministry, but we also need to prepare some people just how to live. Don't say amen. But it's true anyways. For Moses, it meant undergoing some major mindset transformations. And now let me give you these five things and I'll get you out of here before your chicken burns. Amen? Number one, Moses had to confront his ferocious temper. He's not your average clergy. He didn't just think about murdering his congregation. He actually went out and did it. Amen? And God called him a meek man at the same time. But he had to deal with this. How many know God wants to bring emotional stability inside of you, and he wants to bring healing, and there's some pented-up emotions and hurts and fears inside of you that need to be healed. And the first thing God touches is you. We all want to go out and touch somebody else, but God won't touch anybody else until he gets you. And he gets you readjusted. All right? Second thing, he had to confront his wife about his true identity. Imagine marrying a woman and not telling her anything about your faith. Having a secret thing. He could do it quite well because he was 3 months out in the desert by himself with his sheep, so she didn't see him half the time. But she was a Midianite, and she didn't know his faith with Jehovah. She didn't know who he was in the kingdom of God. And he said, you got to get your house in order. Amen? We all want to change the culture, but how many know the Lord says, first of all, get yourself in order, and then get your household in order, get your marriage in order. And the third one was probably one of the most difficult. He had to go to his sons and tell them, you guys need to be circumcised. Now, these are growing guys. They don't even know what their dad's been into. They don't know where he got his revelation from. And all of a sudden, they hear out behind the... come on, think with me. This is not just a story thousands of years ago. This is reality. The knives are sharpening behind the tent. And they're listening for those... I wonder what Dad is up to with those knives. What is he doing? And then Dad starts trying to teach them on circumcision. They say, well, we don't even know about your faith or your confidence. Where did you get this ridiculous revelation from anyways? Well, sons, you're not going to believe this. But last week, I was walking through the desert, through the woods, and all of a sudden, a bush was on fire, and the bush began to talk to me. And it wasn't George Bush either. I had a conversation. Well, what did the bush say? The bush says, you got to get your, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, but you got to get your house in order first of all. So I'm coming back to you to say, you've got to be circumcised because I'm going down to challenge him about his firstborn. Everybody wants to go to the White House or to the Supreme Court and challenge them. How many know the church needs to challenge itself? Because we've allowed what's happening to over the years to take place, and God's now given us a wake-up call by what happened in our country with the Supreme Court this last week. Amen. And so it's a wake-up call for the church, because before we go to tell them about their firstborn, we have to deal with our own firstborn, our own circumstance, and our own, amen, living room. So he says, sons, I have to tell you, these knives are being sharpened for you. Because I get down to Pharaoh, I'm going to be challenging him about his firstborn, and it's going to come right back to me. Then he says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. That was the next one. I'm sending you to Pharaoh, the most powerful emperor on the face of the earth at that time. I'm sending you down there. I believe the church is going to raise up with a prophetic voice one time again in America. How many know God says this thing's not over? I hear all the doom and gloom preachers. I was in a meeting where there's 56 speakers all talking about the end of America last week. 56 speakers, one after another, all have 8 minutes to tell you. By the time you left that meeting, if you had any faith in America and if you had any faith in God, you know, you left so full of depression. Come on. I could have made $1 million just to cast out the depression. And I have to start with the preachers right there. The spirit of depression came upon them because they didn't believe in a glorious church. They didn't believe in a glorious God. They didn't believe in a conquering Jesus. They believed how bad the whole system was going to come and destroy us. But I want to tell you, God's going to raise up a people that are going to say, let my people go. Let America go. Let America be free. Let the kingdom come in our generation. Hallelujah. Quit worrying about the Supreme Court. The right-wing people, and maybe you are that. Somebody says, what are you and Shiloh? Are you right-wing or left-wing? No, I said, we're the whole bird. But how many know they fueled the left and got them incensed so that they would do what they did? That actually fueled them and gave the energy for what we got going right now. And amen, that's not going to be the approach. This approach is going to come down by intercessory prayer, by an army of people in the country. We're not going to fight this by animosity and by hate, but we're going to fight it, amen, in the spirit. Principalities and powers are going to come down, and there will be a change, because America's not going to end in a holocaust of evil, but it's going to end in a victorious, conquering Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't even know what I'm preaching about. I know what I'm preaching about, but I don't know where I am in my message. Number five. All right. I always get stuck on the five. Five is a great number. He's going to go to the emperor and tell him your slave-driven economy is over. Amen. You're not going to oppress my people any longer. My people are not going to live under oppression. You're going to let my people free. It wasn't just an economy thing. It was a thing of oppression. And God says there's an oppression upon my church and upon my people, and that I want to bust off of them. I want to set them free. All right, number six. He had to confront the false gods and deity of Egypt. Now, I want to say this. If all he had seen is a glow and a flame, if all he had done is seen the sensational part of this, and not heard the voice. After the crackling flames was over and the bush stopped burning and the ashes fell to the ground, there would be nothing to retrieve from it. I've seen people go to revival meetings, renewal meetings, roll on the floor. I didn't matter if people fall on my floor as long as they didn't dirty my carpet. But not only that, after it was over, they got up and they were changed. Amen. It's the voice that changes you, not the emotion. The emotion is fine, but it's a voice. What is the voice? Hallelujah. What is God saying? God's speaking in the midst of the flame. God's speaking in the midst of the chaos. God's speaking in the midst of the tragedies in America. Amen? Hallelujah. These tragedies. ISIS. I'm just going to take a minute longer, but ISIS have targeted 28 cities in America that are to burn this summer. In America, not in a year from now, this summer, they've already targeted. Now, whether they're going to be able to pull it off or not, that's another issue. But they've targeted 28 cities that are going to burn, and they're going to use the racial tension and the pressure that's on there to fuel the fire and the flame for that to take place. Amen? How many know we're not living in normal days? We're not living in normal times. We need a fresh word from God, church. We need a fresh word. We need a fresh, and he that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. What was the indictment against the Pharisees? You got eyes, you don't see nothing. You got ears, but you don't hear. But he that hath an ear, are you listening? I said, God's still speaking. Are you listening? God's still declaring himself. God's still prophesying to us. God's still speaking to his church. God's still speaking to his servants. Amen. Let's just pray that God is going to speak fresh to this church in a new way. You hear wonderful word. You hear wonderful truth. But I believe there's another dimension that's going to come. And I'll tell you what, it's not so much all that the pastor and the leaders are going to get new words, but you're going to get new ears to hear the same word. Amen. The word's being spoken. It's now, Lord, open my ears. Stand with me, please. Let's pray together. Lord, open my ears. Just ask the Lord right now. Put your hands on your ears. Put your hands here. Lord, open our ears. Awaken us morning by morning. Let us hear a fresh word from God. Let us hear a fresh truth in our ear. Let us respond. Say, Lord, amen, you're speaking. Amen. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, because we need to hear. We need to hear, Lord, a fresh word in this chaotic time in America. When America is in great need, let the church respond. Respond in a way that's going to glorify you. Morning by morning, he opens my ears. Amen. Let it be for you. Amen. Let it be a reality. I love you. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. If I said anything to offend you, your pastor will straighten you out next week.
We love you. Pastor David, tell him one more time. We love him. Hallelujah. Just be seated for a moment. We're going to bring this service to a quick end. We're so blessed by everything that's been said here. These are the right challenges, especially for this time and this hour. We want to respond as well and show love and generosity to Pastor David for coming and sowing into us. And I know that's in your heart to do, so you can prepare a gift. And in just a moment, the guys will serve it. Let's close with some singing and worship, Michael and Pastor Nicole. Just allow the Holy Spirit to touch you as the offering comes. Guys, come forward and serve the people, and then we'll dismiss in just a moment. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I know that's your prayer. I love each and every one of you. I'm so glad we could be together. This has been a great full service where God has spoken. I want to invite our prayer teams to just come, a few elders and intercessors and small group leaders will be up here toward the front. If you need special prayer for any reason at all, you want to talk to somebody about your relationship with God, a tormenting problem in your life, if you need healing in your body, we care about you and we want to minister to you. Folks will be here after the service. Don't forget, next Sunday, very special time. Wear your red, white, and blue. Let's show our love for our country. We'll have a great time together. I love each and every one of you. God bless. You are dismissed. Turn and shake hands with about two or three people, all right? Don't rush out the door. Just say hello to somebody before you go. We're so glad you're here. God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.